Merkel Media.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I'm reloaded. Yep.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. That's theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. And if you want some extra episodes every week, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com and become a member, because every Thursday, we drop a new episode for members only. So if that interests you, go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today. Now, this week, we have a really cool show coming up for you. But before we get into that, I want to welcome all the new listeners that are tuning in to this show this month. You see, The Confessionals has taken out a billboard on 422 just outside of Philadelphia off the Oaks exit. And I know we had a lot of people tuning in from seeing that billboard. We got messages already. So thank you very much for tuning in. I really hope you enjoy this show and come back every week, every Tuesday, for a new episode. And anybody who has not seen the billboard yet, you can go to any social media platform, but I recommend going to Instagram, follow us at The Confessionals Podcast, and you can see the billboard that we have up on 422. But thank you everybody for tuning in that has seen the billboard. I really do appreciate it, and hopefully you enjoy what you're about to hear. Now, this week we have Chris coming on, and Chris is going to share some very paranormal type experiences that he's had. Now, he's from Pennsylvania, Uniontown to be exact. Now, he, when he was 19 years old, decided that he wanted to man up and be his own guy and move out of the house. So he gets an apartment, and when he moves into this apartment, some things went down. I'm talking about knives flying through the air. A lot of crap happened, and he talks about it all on this week's show. It's very chilling, so definitely stay tuned for that. And before we get to his encounter story, though, we're going to play a trailer for this coming week's member episode on Thursday. Let's go.
To explain, unless like you've been through it, I guess. It's a really strange, like, terrifying feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine, and it's terrifying. You did have your own pretty crazy experience with
sleep paralysis, and from what it sounded like an out-of-body experience. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I've heard of sleep paralysis before. Never had it my whole life up until, I don't know, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago. And I was laying in bed. My wife was asleep. And I was asleep. And it's really hard to explain. So I wake up, my eyes are open. I'm awake in my bedroom. I can't move. But I hear a voice come from the foot of the bed, and it says, "Don't worry, son, everything's gonna be alright." And it's like, I don't know if I was, it was like I was looking at myself sleeping. Like I was at the foot of the bed watching myself sleep. I can't move. And I see these two arms. I see these two arms come out of the wall and touch me on the shoulders. And as soon as they touch me on the shoulders, I'm back into my body and I'm awake and I can move and, you know, really freak out about it.
All right, today we got Chris coming on. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good. So I'm glad you're here, and you're from Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania. Two Pennsylvanians talking about ghosts. And what's better than that? I am excited about having you come on the show today, man, because you talk about different experiences you've had, even with your ex-wife, which we'll get into a little bit later on. But let's start off with this experience you had where you were 19 years old, decided that you wanted to move out of your parents' house. You get an apartment, and there's a lot of baggage that came with this place. So walk us into what happened, man.
Well, right before I turned 19, I got an apartment in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. Decided it was time to spread my wings and fly. So I went out on my own, got a job. The place was actually kind of creepy even before I fully moved in. Like, I had a couple small instances before even moving in. Me and my parents, like, I was working at the Walmart in Uniontown, working, like, swing shifts. So my parents were cleaning the apartment for me when I was working, and I had one day off. I went to go help my mom clean some stuff up so I could start getting my furniture put in. And it was really weird. I was in the kitchen just making sure like the drawers were wiped out, all that stuff. And my mom was in the only bedroom, my bedroom, cleaning up the closet, stuff like that. Well, then she came like running out into the kitchen. And I was like, "What is going on? Like, what's wrong?" And she said, "Chris, I opened your closet and like something came out of the closet at me." And I was like, "Okay, you're delusional. Like, there's nothing in the closet." And it was really weird because when I looked over towards my bedroom, which is a basic layout of the apartment, I actually had, the apartment was between a beauty salon that was downstairs and there was an upstairs apartment, but my apartment had two entrances. So when you come in through the back entrance, you came into the kitchen. Right through the kitchen, immediately to your left, was the bathroom. And then the bedroom was right next to the bathroom. And then there was a hallway that took you down into a decent-sized living room and then like a foyer. And then the front door was off the foyer. Well, I looked down towards the bedroom, and I saw, like, I didn't see anything in the bedroom, but when I looked down the hallway, like, the hallway was really dark. There was like a black veil over the, like, halfway down the hallway going into the living room. Like, this dark veil, not black. And so I kind of checking it out, and then I decided to go look in the living room because it started moving towards the living room, which it was probably like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So no curtains hanging, light pouring in through windows, and it was still really dark, like, in that part of the apartment. I went into the down into the living room, didn't really see anything. Nothing really stuck out to me. So I went back and talked to my mom, told her everything was fine. Just she could sit down and relax. I finished cleaning stuff up and, you know. Well, then end of that week, we move all my stuff in and everything was fine for a while. And this kid that was real good friends with my younger brother in high school. He was kind of a dorky kid in high school, and I kind of felt bad for him, so I stuck up for him a little bit. Well, he wanted to come hang out with me at the apartment. So I'd have him come out, and he'd spend a night here or there, like on a Friday or Saturday, and we'd like walk around Uniontown during the day, or you know, go out, catch movies or whatnot. And this one night, we were up like really late. It was like just before the sun came up. And he was sitting in my recliner in the living room. And I had like a white couch and then a brown leather Lazy Boy. And I think it was a white love seat. But I was getting ready to go to bed. And I told him, man, do whatever he had to do, I was going to bed. And he looked at me and he said, Chris, there's a demon sitting on your couch. And I was just like, dude, you're delirious. It's like 4 a.m. You're delirious. So I look over at the couch and like the one seat was kind of darker. Like I didn't see an actual physical apparition or anything, but it was like the one cushion was like dark gray as opposed to white. So I looked at him and I was like, dude, I can't handle this right now. I'm going to bed. Like, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to bed. So I went back into my room and I lay down in bed, pulled the blankets up, and I probably wasn't even in my room for more than 10, 15 minutes. Hadn't even got to fall asleep yet. And I heard this really crazy sound and scream, like something unearthly coming from my living room. And I was like, what the hell was that? So I jump up, throw my jeans back on, run out of the bedroom down towards the living room, and the sun hadn't come up yet, so it was dark in the living room. But when I left, there was a light on, and this kid, Mark, was sitting in the recliner, and I look over, and he's just sitting there in the darkness. So I went over to turn the lamp on by the chair, and like it wouldn't turn on, so I look at the other side, and it was unplugged, so I plugged the lamp in, and I was like, dude, what the hell, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to sleep, I have neighbors, like, what are you doing? And he's like, nothing, I just killed a demon. I was like, what do you mean you just killed a demon? You can't kill a demon. Demons, I don't think, were living things anyway. Like, how do you kill a spirit? And he's like, oh, I knew this Wiccan spell where I could reach up into heaven and use some of its light to kill evil spirits. And that's what I did. And I just looked at this dude because I'd never been around any type. I've heard of like Wiccan and all that, never been around it. I thought the kid was messing with me and he was just doing some weird stuff in my living room. So I was like, whatever. I mean, you go on ghost busting or whatever you're doing. I'm going back to bed. So I went in and laid down. He comes by and he's like, hey, I'm going to make a omelet on in your kitchen if you're okay with that. I said, yeah, eat up, whatever. So like in the bedroom door was like straight across from the actual kitchen. So when I got to my doorway, I could look straight into my kitchen. So I'm laying in my bed and I just closed my eyes. I hear him frying up eggs and all of a sudden I hear something smack on my dresser, which was like it was at the foot of my bed on the left side of the room. And I sit up and I look and there's a steak knife laying on the floor in front of my dresser. And I was like, ha ha, Mark, you're hilarious. Now quit messing up my furniture and make your damn food. And so I laid back down and I heard it again. Then I look and there's a second steak knife laying on the floor. And so I got up and I walked out to the kitchen and I was like, dude, what are these? Like, why are you throwing stuff in my room? And he's like, I'm not. I'm frying this omelet. I'm trying to make an omelet. So I put the knives back in like the little chopping block and I slid it further back on the counter. So like you couldn't just real quickly grab it and I moved the position. So in case he was messing with me, it would take him more time to get between the knives and the stove. And I'd hear him taking the steps across the kitchen. So I lay back down in bed and this time I'm listening. I'm not even trying to go back to sleep. I'm listening to hear this kid so I can catch him, you know, messing with me. And I hear him flipping the omelet and then I hear something smack my dresser as he's flipping the omelet. I look down and there's another knife on the floor in front of my dresser. So I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm wide awake. Obviously, sleep isn't in the cards for me right now. I don't know what's going on. So I get up, put the knife back in the chopping block, and he looks at me, and he's like, you're not sleeping? I'm like, dude, but I don't know if it's you. I don't know what's going on, but something doesn't want me to go to sleep, so I'm not sleeping. So he offered to let me have the omelet he just made, and he was going to make one for himself. So he puts it on the plate, puts the plate on the table, and it was on the corner, but not hanging over the edge of the table. I sat down, and before I could grab the plate to slide it to me, nobody was touching it. The plate slid off the table and shattered on the floor. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he's like, what just happened? And I'm like, you know what, dude? We're not eating breakfast here either. I'm getting fully dressed, and we're leaving. We'll get food somewhere. I don't know what just happened. So we leave the, which I had a couple little spirits that were in my apartment that never bothered me. There was like the spirit of like a little girl that was there and like her stepdad, which I knew that because I talked to a medium after everything went happened with my mom. But so I'm like, they've never messed with anything. Like I've never had anybody like throw a plate off my table or anything like that. And so we leave, we go out, and you know, he comes back, we had somebody pick up in town, and I went home, and the place was pretty quiet that evening. I mean, nothing real crazy going on. But when I went to bed that night, I started hearing like, you know, it's like you like strum your finger, like if you're like tapping your fingers on furniture, like going from like your pinky to your index finger, like running them over furniture. Well, I was laying there in bed and I heard that like going down my bookcase, up my dresser. And then there was the gap, like my closet door was next to my dresser. And then, there was like nothing there until you got to the corner. And then there was a nightstand there. And then right behind my bed, like my apartment had like the radiators in them with the big tin boxes surrounding them. So then the strumming went to like the nightstand and then onto that metal box behind my bed. And I like freaked out and sat up. And I was like, what is going on here? So I looked around, there's nobody in my apartment. It's pitch black. And so I turned my lamp on and I'm like looking around, there's nothing going on. So I go to check the doors. Doors are locked. Went back in, passed out. So for like a week, I'd hear like little stuff here and there. Well, then this kid, Mark, comes back over the next weekend. And, you know, I'm talking to him about like what happened the previous week. And we're trying to figure out what's going on. And we started walking down my hallway. And I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents both went to church. I went to church. Well, then I didn't go to church as much as I used to, but I was still going like around holidays and here and there on Sundays when I wasn't working. So I had like a cross hanging on my hallway wall that was made of pewter. And he was walking in front of me heading towards the living room. And Tony, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. The cross literally spun in a circle on the wall and flew off and almost hit him in the back of the head. It flew over his shoulder, hit my living room floor, and broke into three pieces. So I'm officially freaking out. I mean, I physically watched it happen. There was probably, oh, I don't know, 5-6 feet in between us as he was walking down the hallway. So I physically watched it spin on the wall. And it just missed his head. Like I yelled his name. And when he went to turn to see what I wanted, it flew right past him and hit the floor. So I was freaking out and I was like, dude, we can't stay here right now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you're bringing it with you. I don't know if you did something that night last week. I don't know, but something's wrong. So I went to go, change my shirt so we could take off. We were just trying to catch a movie, get something to eat in town, and just to stay away from the apartment. And I go back in my bedroom and he's sitting on my couch. And then all of a sudden I hear all this ruckus while I'm trying to change my shirt, like stuff slamming off the floor. I heard a door slam shut and then I hear like knocking and banging. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I take off out of my bedroom, like shirt half over my torso. I run down the hallway and Mark's not on the couch anymore, but there were two big cardboard boxes that were in that closet that had like comforters and them and blankets and towels and stuff. They were like extra ones that I wasn't using at the time, had been thrown like all the way across my living room. So it was about 12 feet across my living room into the foyer, and they were thrown into the doorway of the foyer, both of them. And then I hear knocking on the inside of the closet door. So I open the closet door and there's Mark standing there looking at me, like freaking out. I'm like, dude, what are you doing in the closet? Like, what's going on? He said, I was sitting on the edge of the couch where you told me to, like, where you saw me, I was sitting right there. And all of a sudden I heard like the doorknob turn and the door opened and I felt like the boxes flew out. I felt something grab me and it like ripped me into the closet. He said, I tried to turn the doorknob to get out. The door, it was like it was locked. And I said, kid, there's no lock on this door. Like, it's just a basic interior doorknob. There's no lock. And he's like, Chris, I'm telling you, it was like it was locked. I couldn't get out. I started knocking on the door, trying to get your attention to come get me out of the closet. So I was like, all right, we're out of here. We're done. Like, so after we went out around town, I had his ride come get him. And I started assuming that I didn't know if whenever he did his little spell or whatever he thought he was doing, I don't know if he accidentally woke something up that may have been there, if he opened a doorway to something, I don't know. So I had him stay home for a while. I was like, dude, until I figure out what's going on here, you know, obviously it's mad at you. I can't have you come in here, just in case. And so I started making phone calls, and there was, I don't know if you've heard of Nemacolin Castle, that's in Brownsville, PA.
No, I don't think I have.
Okay. It's this little castle that they, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was part of like the Underground Railroad all those years ago, but it's a little haunted castle and they'll do like Halloween tours. So they tell you the haunted stuff. They do Christmas tours too, I guess, where you can go through and it's all lit up with Christmas lights and all these things. And there was an older gentleman that was like, he was a medium that worked there, and somebody had gotten me in touch with him, and he's the person I contacted when I first moved in, and my mom got scared to see if there was anything at the house. And I don't know, he never came over. I don't know what he did. He did whatever he was doing, and he told me about people that were in my house and so on. And so I called him up again. I was explaining to him what was going on, and he put me in touch with his daughter, who had more knowledge in like the occult. I don't know if she had been Wiccan at one time or if she was at that time or whatever. So I call her and I'm explaining what this boy told me he did in my living room. And she was like, there is no spell in Wiccan that allows you to kill a demon. She's like, you can't kill a demon. And I was like, so what did he do? And she was, I don't know. She's like, whatever he did, if he's not actually practicing under somebody that's teaching him things and he's just doing things on his own, whatever he did it wrong. And he opened up something in your apartment and you need to like bless your apartment, you know, do what you got to do to get all of it out. So after talking to her, I called my parents up. Because like I said, I was in church with them all my life. And I called them, told them what was going on, and was like, listen, I need help. Like, what? And I explained the whole situation to them. I was like, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if I can do this by myself. I don't know how it's going to react when I start like anointing the apartment. I just don't know. So my parents came over, my brother came over, And we took anointing oil and went through and like blessed all the doorways, the like walls, windowsills, everything. Well, while we were trying to bless things, me and my mom were in the kitchen and my brother and my dad were in my living room. Well, while we were in the kitchen, I heard something call for, I heard like my dad's voice call for me. And my mom heard it too. And I looked at her and she was like, well, go see what he wants. I'll be fine. So I walk into the living room and I'm like, hey, Dad, what'd you need? He's like, I didn't call for you. I was like, yes, you did. Me and mom both heard you call for me. So he looks at my brother and my brother was like, Chris, he didn't call for you. And then I heard my mom yell out in the kitchen. So I take off out to the kitchen and she's like frozen, like so scared that she was almost like petrified standing by the sink. And I look where she's looking and there is this black, like midnight black silhouette of a person standing in the doorway of my bedroom. Like, and when we all came to the kitchen, because my parents, my dad and brother followed me, when we got to the kitchen, I don't know if it was coming out to the kitchen towards her or if it just stopped there, but that's where it stopped. And it was like, it didn't progress any further. And so I took my mom outside on my porch, my back porch, to get her out of the house, because apparently whatever it was, it isolated her to do something to her. So I took my mother out of the house, had her sit on the back porch and wait. I went back in the apartment and I'm like, all right, I'm done. Like, you know, you want to throw stuff at me, that's fine. Just, you're not messing with my mom, my dad. Like, I'm no. So I grabbed my Bible and I grabbed some anointing oil and I went to go to my bedroom and it wasn't in the doorway anymore. So I go into my bedroom and, it sounded like something was in my closet. Like if you close the door all the way and you're pushing against it, you know how you hear like the door pressed against the door frames, the door jams? That's what it sounded like was happening in my closet. Like somebody was in there just pushing on the door. So I open my closet and I go to bless the inside of my closet and I don't know, I just felt something like, I felt like something like grabbed my arm. And when it did, it like my arm went like, it was, it's hard to explain. It's almost like it went kind of numb, like my forearm where it touched me. So I hurried up, I put the oil on the door, closed the bedroom door, and I had my mom stay outside while we finished anointing the rest of the apartment. And then I went out and checked on her and she was doing a lot better as long as she was outside. So they went home. I thanked them for helping me out, but the blessing didn't get rid of anything. Like we said prayers, we were going through the Bible, the anointing oil, but it didn't, it just made it angry. And different things would start happening. Like there was a mirror on the back of my dresser that was just as long as my dresser was. And when you go into the, like, so it was facing my bedroom door, like I said before. So when as soon as you walked in the bedroom, you'd see this mirror. Well, when you walked in and looked in the mirror, the reflection of you was like a distorted reflection of you. It was definitely you looking back, but like maybe the reflection would be smiling when you weren't smiling. Like not like a big Cheshire cat grin, but like a little smirk almost. Or like something was always different. It wasn't quite right. I would hear like things calling my name at night when I was trying to go to sleep. The drumming of the fingers continued every night. A couple of my friends from high school actually ended up becoming pastors. But they weren't quite there yet, but they were going to church and these are like my best friends in high school. And so I reached out to the one and I was like, listen, you know, one day this week, I need you to come over. And I explained everything to him. So on Sunday, he had me go to church with him. So I went to church with him And then we went to the apartment right afterwards. And nothing happened. The man was there for 45 minutes with me. Like, sitting there hanging out. We're talking, waiting for things to happen, and nothing happened. Nothing. No noises, no shadows, no nothing moving. So he was like, well, here's maybe you coming to church, you praying, here's maybe that got rid of it. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, I don't know. So he left. Within 20 minutes of him leaving, I could hear things again. Things calling my name. Like, I would go into the kitchen, I hear something calling me from the living room, or if I was in the bathroom, something was calling me from, like, the kitchen. And it was almost like it was trying to make me, like, isolate me. You know what I mean? Like, it wanted me to feel like I was alone in it. So nobody outside of my parents coming over experienced anything. I had a pastor come over. He didn't experience anything. Don't nobody outside of my parents and that kid that did whatever he did. But when I talked to that medium, because I called him back and was like, listen, I don't know what to do. I tried anointing the house. I brought a preacher in. You know, my friend came in. I said, it's not showing itself to anybody. And he goes, Chris, it's not going to. He said, it's trying to isolate you so you feel like you're crazy. He goes, that's the whole point. He goes, I can see them. He goes, when I focus on your house, I feel this darkness that's just there. He goes, you need to get rid of it. So, I was kind of freaking out because I didn't know what to do. I tried anointing oils. I tried everything I knew growing up in church to do to get rid of, like, bad spirits, dark entities. So I was freaking out one day. It was getting on my nerves. It was finally reaching this breaking point with me. And all I heard in the back of my mind was, read your Bible. And I said, okay, where? Where do I start? And then the voice told me to read Psalms. Psalms 1. Start reading Psalms 1. So I did. Because Tony, the Psalms are all basically like songs to God. It's all praises to God. So I started reading the first Psalms. And it was the closest. I've never experienced like a really close to God moment like this before, but I was sitting at my table in the kitchen and like foot tapping because I'm just so overwhelmed. I was scared. I was upset because I didn't understand why what I was doing didn't work. I was getting sleep deprived because every time I try to go to sleep, there was always something waking me up in the middle of the night, you know, keeping me going. So foot's tapping, I'm clenching my knee with my left hand, and I'm reading the Bible. And then all of a sudden, it just felt like somebody with the gentlest touch just touched my hand. It was the most soothing, gentle touch I've ever felt in my life. And as soon as I felt that, like, this calm came over my body. So I sat there and I kept reading. And all of a sudden, and this is going to sound really weird. And, you know, I know you've heard a lot of things, but this is going to sound really weird to people that may not believe exactly the same way. But it was like my kitchen got really bright. Like the white on the pages of the Bible was really bright white. The lettering was a really bold black. And I heard like a little bit of rumbling, and then all of a sudden my house felt very peaceful for the first time in, I don't know, the few months that I had been living there. So when I was really stressed and I didn't know what else to do, it was like God was like, okay, this is what I want you to do for me. This is what you're going to do. This is what's going to get rid of it for you. And it did. Like the house went back to, well, I guess you could say normal. I didn't have anything calling my name anymore. I didn't hear the fingers drumming on anything. whatever that was, like everything was gone. Minus the couple little things that were there when I moved in that didn't cause any harm.
So you're saying that everything was gone at that moment, mostly, not everything, but
yes. Yeah, just the really dark stuff, the things that were tormenting me were gone. Like the little girl that was there, her stepdad that was there. Like a couple days after that happened, I saw the little girl again, you know, but nothing ever came after that. Like there was no doors slamming, things flying at me, no, nothing trying to torment me. All the actual dark entities were gone.
It's interesting. Why do you think that not everything was gone, but just the very negative stuff that you were experiencing?
I honestly don't know. I don't know if the other ones weren't gone because they weren't evil. Like, I don't believe that every ghost is evil. I mean, I believe you have residual hauntings. There are some people that just for some reason linger. They don't want anything. They don't do anything. They just linger. And I don't know. I don't know if it's because they weren't malevolent, because they were just caring about their lives like maybe they did when they were alive. I don't know. I think I was just so happy that the other stuff was gone that I never thought much about that part.
I wanted to ask you, way back when you first started sharing the story about the knives in your room, how do you think they were getting there? I mean, like your friend was in the kitchen where they were at and they're just ending up in your room. Do you think they were some kind of like put there through a different dimension, or do you think they were actually physically floating through the air?
I think they were physically flying. I think something was grabbing them and throwing them. After watching the cross spin on the wall and fly, I actually had a piece of that cross thrown at me. I didn't mention that in the story. The boxes were around like the radiators in my house. Well, something was like pushing from the inside of one of the boxes. And I went to go see what was going on, and one of the pieces of the cross, I put them up on my coffee table. One of the pieces had flown off the coffee table and just missed my knee and hit the box right next to me, like right in front of me. So I believe that it was a very physical action, that it wasn't like it was just disappearing in the kitchen and like interdimensional travel. I think it was very, whatever was there was strong and was strong enough to physically move things, because I watched it happen a couple times myself.
Whatever happened to the kid that you think started this whole thing? I mean, are you still talking to him today or what? But before you even answer that, you know, what made him feel like this was something that he wanted to do in your place? I'm assuming you guys had that activity going on and he's like, well, I can fix this. Was it just being naive?
I think it was, and it was actually even before there was really any activity. He was the only one that saw anything. Because, like I said, the girl and her stepfather, like, the only thing with the stepfather, like, I couldn't sit in my recliner, like, after a certain point at night. I would just kind of feel like somebody was bugging me to get out of the chair. Almost like he wanted to sit in the recliner, like an old man just relaxing after a long day, sitting in a leather lazy boy. You know what I mean? Nothing ever bothered me, but I think he saw whatever he saw. And was like, oh, I can fix this for him, which obviously he did not.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, so I'm assuming you've come to the conclusion, and it's what it sounds like, is whatever he did made things exponentially worse.
Oh, most definitely. He let something walk into my apartment that I don't think was there before. I don't know if, like I believe, like using Ouija boards, if you use a Ouija board, it opens a doorway. you're allowing something to walk into where you are. You're welcoming something there. And I think he, regardless of whether it was intentional or not, I think he may have inadvertently welcomed something into my house.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's a high probability, considering what you just shared with us.
And him, I quit talking to him. There was an instance where he called me one night, and it was after everything died down at the apartment. He came by and hung out a couple times after that, and nothing ever stayed. But this whole experience with my apartment, I don't know, like, I became really sensitive to things after this. I don't know if I was sensitive to them before and it just lay dormant. But I became really sensitive to spirits and things after this entire ordeal at my apartment. And this one time he came over and we were hanging out, and when he went to leave, it was later, it was like 10, 11 o'clock. So it was dark outside. And I walked outside with him, walking him down to his mom's boyfriend's car. And when he turned around to say something to me, like, his face looked different in the darkness. Like, his eyes were kind of blackened out a little bit. Like, it was weird. Like, whatever. I think the boy carried something with him, almost like a possession type deal. There was something that was with him. And after that night when he left, I never let him. I every time he wanted to come hang out, I was busy. I was like, I don't want a recap of what happened. And then he called me one night and he was scared. He said there were things in his house that were scaring him and he wanted to talk. So I told him I talked to him over the phone. And he sounded genuinely terrified of whatever it was. You know, he was by himself. His mom and her boyfriend went out. And he was genuinely terrified. And at some point, I gave this kid one of my Bibles because I used to have a little stash of them. And we were talking about religion one time, and I gave him one of my Bibles. So I asked him if he had that Bible handy that I gave him, and he said yes. So I decided, because Psalms worked in taking care of the things in my apartment, I decided that would be a good place to maybe start with easing him. It might comfort him the way I was comforted. So I started reading verses over the phone to him. I told him just to follow along or read out loud with me, either one. But we were going through, as I'm reading these verses, I think it was the last episode, your last new episode, where you had the recordings of the demonic possessed people on the radio shows.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like that first recording, that weird voice that chick had in that first recording, I heard something come through the phone, and it was, as I was reading verses, it was twisting them and making them very sadistic. And I asked him, I was like, what was that? And apparently he didn't hear it. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, somebody just said something. Like, is there another phone? Like, is somebody sitting next to you? Is there another? Because I think he called me on his house phone. I said, is that a phone? Is somebody messing with me? And he was like, no. He's like, there's nobody here. I'm by myself. So I kept reading. As I started going through verses, the voice came through the phone again. And again, it was twisting Bible verses in ways that I don't care to reiterate to anyone. But it, with the voice came this feeling of fear, like there was in my apartment. And so finally, you know, I told him, I said, you need to make this stop. Whatever it is, you need to make it stop. You need to make it go away. And he said, Chris, I can't. I said, go see a priest, preacher, you know, do what you need to get rid of whatever this is. And I think that was probably one of the last times I spoke to him. He never called me after that. We just kind of lost touch with each other. And honestly, I wasn't in a position at that age. I barely got rid of whatever was in my apartment, and I was terrified. I wasn't in a position at that age with my faith. I mean, I had faith, but it's grown a lot since then. And I just wasn't at a place where I think I could have helped him.
Wow. So the voices that you were hearing coming through the phone that you were talking to him on, was it during him talking that you heard this other voice, or was it while you were talking?
He really didn't read along a whole lot. He was just, as I was, like, when we first started reading, like, he was, like, reading along with me. And then after that, I noticed he had grown quiet. And I was just reading the verses. I could hear him breathing into the phone, so I knew he was still there. This was 14 years ago. So this is before like Android and stuff, when you had those big, heavy Nokias. So it didn't even tell you if anybody hung up. You start talking to yourself usually after somebody like lost service. I hear him breathing into his phone. And so as I'm reading these verses to him, and then I would hear this voice that was very similar to the first recording in your show from Tuesday. Which honestly, when I heard it, it actually raised every hair on my body and sent chills down my spine.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to that stuff, there's a lot of different things that people will think about that. But I do know that a lot of times people that have demonic possession within them, other people sometimes hear voices like you did, right? Or even on that recording. But the person in the moment doesn't hear the record or hear the voices, because the voices are coming out of them, but they're not in the right mental state to even hear what's going on.
It's almost like they're being blocked while the other one is using them. So they have no idea what's going on.
Exactly. And I don't know how true this is, but I heard a theory that, because if you remember on that recording, the woman, she's talking, and then it sounded like something else was talking, and it sounded like a different voice. I heard that human beings have two vocal cords, and either they only use one of the two, or they can only use one at a time of the two.
I heard a similar theory. It was a while ago that people have like you said, a dual set. And that only certain people end up using both sets or whatever at the same time. Most people only use one set. And then I guess during these situations or whatever, both sets can be used or whatever. I don't know. I heard it a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I had heard too. And it's interesting because maybe, people that have demonic possession within them, and that happens, maybe that the demonic entity is using that other vocal cord to communicate. You know, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think that's a possibility?
I would say it is. It could be possible, considering the voice that I heard, and even the ones in your recording sounded absolutely nothing like the other person, like the person that was being spoken to. The voice was... And it was honestly, it was really close to the one in that recording, the one that I heard. And, but it is possible. I mean, I went through a similar situation with my ex-wife when we were together. And, at one point when she would talk, it wasn't her talking. Like it wasn't her voice. So I believe that could be very possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be possible, but I mean, what do I know? I just drive a truck for a living and talk to people about their ghost stories. So,
Listen, I lift heavy stuff and crank on a pipe wrench all day. I mean, you know, I don't know nothing either. I'm a grunt.
Yeah, man. I do find that interesting though. And those voices coming out and stuff, it's just, you know, I don't know. I think it's possible. I think it's possible. I just don't know, I don't know. Terminology to use maybe as far as all that goes, but it's to me, I think it's definitely possible.
I think when I heard the theory, it was somebody trying to argue against demonic possession. And they were trying to say that if a person was talented enough, they might be able to figure out how to either use the other set or both at the same time to make those noises. And I think that's how I heard it. It was somebody arguing against the idea of demonic presences and demonic possession.
Yeah.
And I honestly, is it possible for somebody to gain enough control over their body to use both? Yes, through training, through years of practice. But for somebody to, you know, all out of the blue start speaking differently in like a growly, like raspy-ish type voice, because I don't think you can accidentally figure out how to do it and then do it perfectly.
Right. You know, I think I'll play the audio real quick for people to listen in case they don't know what audio interview we're talking about. This was episode 103, and we played about 20 minutes worth of audio of callers. This one girl calls into a show. Let me paint the picture for people, because I didn't do a good job on that episode of telling people what I knew about the call. What happened is, this girl calls into a radio show that's hosted by a guy named Bob Larson, and she's demonically possessed, and she doesn't say this during the phone call, but Bob actually met up with her after the first phone call, and he talked with her, and she was actually part of a satanic cult where she was being raised to be a satanic sacrifice on Halloween. This is what she had told Bob when they met up. And you hear during the first phone call, she actually was concerned about being hurt when he prays for her. He asked her if she could pray for him, and she said, "Is it going to hurt? Do I have to cut myself?" And so it was a very emotional thing. He meets up with her, and then a few nights later, the mother calls into the station to tell him to leave the family alone. And the mother pretty much admitted to planning on killing herself as well as her daughter during this sacrifice. So check this out.
1-800-821-TALK is the on-the-air number. And I tell you, we've got some very tense situations here right now. Now, Rebecca, I want you to just listen to me for a minute, okay?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, we want to help you. And the people who gave you this number knew that we would be able to help you. Now, we can help you in a number of ways.
You can help me?
The first thing we can do is pray for you. Okay?
Does it hurt?
Pardon?
Does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt.
Do I have to cut myself?
You do not have to cut yourself. You don't do anything. You just listen right now.
Hey.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
In the name our Father in heaven and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we just pray right now for the peace and comfort of God to come upon Rebecca. I pray that her mind may be opened, and I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit may come upon her. We bind all the powers of darkness, we bind all the work of the enemy, and we make every evil spirit subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the work of the Satanist in her life, we command that it come to an end in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray right now for the love of Christ to come to where she is right now and to overshadow her life. And I place the blood of Christ on Sally right now. On Rebecca, I place the blood of Christ on Rebecca right now. I place the blood of Christ on Rebecca. You are bound by the authority in Jesus. You are bound. In Jesus' name, you are bound. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are bound. And Rebecca is being healed. Rebecca is being loosed by the power of Jesus Christ.
What's happening?
Don't worry, Rebecca. God is in control. Don't you worry. Who are you? Who are you? The keeper? You are not the keeper.
The guardian.
You are not the guardian.
Who am I?
You are subject to Jesus Christ. You are subject to Jesus Christ. Keeper and guardian, I bind you in Jesus' name. Keeper and guardian, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Keeper and guardian. Keeper and guardian, you are bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Keeper, you who call yourself keeper, is Jesus Christ Lord? You cannot have this girl. Do you hear me? You cannot have her. She is not yours. To whom does she belong?
Right now, she belongs to my master, Lucifer.
She will not continue to belong to him.
We'll do everything we can to terminate her.
You can't. You can't terminate her.
I'm sick of you.
Rebecca?
What?
Now, you just relax for a minute, okay? Now, you stations down the line, I'm going to suspend my closing. I'm going to suspend the last couple of commercial breaks, and I'm going to stay right with her. Now, Rebecca?
Yes?
You just relax for a minute.
Yes?
You who call yourself the keeper, speak to me. In the name of Christ, you speak to me.
What is it?
You let her go. You let her go.
Why should I let her go? She belongs to me.
Not forever.
I was sent here to protect her, to guide her, and to lead her.
Jesus Christ came here to die for her.
She has not yet made that choice.
She will make that choice, and you know very well it's a miracle that she called today. It's a miracle she called today, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it?
Someone out there was praying for her.
Well, that's your problem. Now, you listen to me. You must be subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. How many more of there are you? How many more of you are there?
How many keepers?
How many more of your kind?
There are many.
How many? Tell me in the name of Jesus Christ. How many?
Been here for generations. There are hundreds.
Well, the hold is being broken.
No.
Yes. Yes, and you know very well it is being broken. God did not have her call me by an accident, and God would not have thousands of people praying right now. And you know very well that your hold is being broken now.
We will have her on our Hallows Eve, Bob.
No, you will not have her on your Hallows Eve. You will not have
ours forever.
No, she will not be yours forever. She will belong to Jesus Christ. Who's David? The David we were talking to a moment ago?
He's deceived.
Keeper?
Yes.
Is Satan defeated?
Yes.
Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead?
Yes.
Then you are defeated too. And your hour has come to an end.
I have a right to be here.
What is the right?
She has not accepted your God.
Keeper, by the authority in Jesus' name, I bind you to hold your tongue silent right now.
Yes.
I bind you to submerge and hold your tongue silent. Rebecca? Rebecca?
What?
I want you to... Do you want love in your life?
I'm scared of it.
Do you want it?
Yes.
Do you want God?
I don't know who he is.
Do you want him? Do you want him if he is love?
If it's true.
Then say, I, Rebecca. Keeper, stay out of the way in Jesus' name. Rebecca? Rebecca, keeper, get out of the way. I command you to stay out of the way. Rebecca?
Yes.
Say, I, Rebecca.
I, Rebecca.
Want love.
Want love.
I want God. Stay out of the way, keeper. Stay out of the way.
I want out. I want out.
Say, I put my trust.
I put my trust.
In God.
In God.
In God. Stay out of the way, keeper.
God.
And Jesus Christ. Say, and.
And.
Jesus. Say, Jesus. Keeper, stay out of the way. Stay out of the way, Keeper.
Jesus.
Christ.
Christ.
Keeper, Keeper, you are bound. You stay right there, and I'm going to come back to you in a minute. I have to go away. I just ask all of you to be very, very much in prayer. Support this ministry. Stand by us. And support us in prayer now.
Helping the hurting is what Talk Back with Bob Larson is all about. Thank you for praying.
Now, let me tell you what's going on right now. At this moment, Rebecca's mother is sitting in the car in a trance. Now, it just may be that that's something that God did to get her mother out of the way so I could talk with Rebecca. I don't know what's going on. I'm speculating. Rebecca is not at the phone right now. Rebecca is going to come back to the phone at any minute. In the meantime, I want every, and I may have to interrupt this, but I want every demon in hell to listen.
I don't want to hear any more that you have to say. Do you hear me?
Catherine?
Please leave us alone.
No, I will not leave you alone, Catherine. Under no circumstances will I leave you alone, not when you are going to murder your daughter. And I will not leave you alone because I want you to have God's love in your life. I want you to know the promise and the
you
hope.
You listen to me. It's too late for me.
It is not too late.
It is too late.
That's a lie. That's a lie of Baphomet. That's a lie of
too
Lucifer.
Late.
It is not. If it's too late, why am I talking to you now?
I have no idea.
If
I
it's
can't
too,
get rid of you.
You can't get rid of me. You aren't going to get rid of me because I won't let you go, because God won't let you go. How would I know about Ouroboros and Marduk?
Listen.
And Floretta.
No, right.
How would I know?
Speak those names.
Listen, those are the names of demons which Jesus Christ has trod under his feet, which Jesus Christ has defeated at the cross. I will speak them.
Leave us out of your little fairy tale. Land will not have any part of it. You understand me?
Who's living in the fairy tale? You've got a black book with names of ancient spirits and relatives that have passed a curse down seven.
That's reality.
It's not. Is killing your daughter on October 31st a reality?
It is reality.
It's murder.
We must get rid of this evil.
What evil?
You are evil.
You're the one that's going to commit murder. You're the one that's going to kill your daughter.
I will join her.
Are you going to kill yourself? Are you? In Jesus' name, who's interfering?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? Who is it? Come to attention. Who are you?
Mm-hmm. Ravinsky.
Well, Ravinsky, I thought you couldn't speak English.
Ravinsky.
I thought you couldn't speak English.
Ravinsky.
Are you Ravinsky?
God.
Can you speak English?
Listen, I don't want any part of this.
Catherine,
you
listen to me.
Are
Catherine,
nothing.
Catherine, who's
leave
going to kill?
Us alone.
Catherine, who's going to kill you at Halloween?
No one.
Are you going to take your own life?
That's none of your business.
Are you planning to sacrifice yourself?
This is none of your business.
It is God's business. Why would I be talking to you? This is a miracle, Catherine.
You are a fool.
How would I know all of this? Why would I be talking to you if I were a fool? If I were a fool, how would I know all of this?
I have no idea, but you leave us alone.
I know about Ravinsky. You know
leave us alone. I'm begging you.
In Christ's name.
Get out of this while you can.
In Christ's name, we break the curse of Ravinsky. What? Ravinsky? Can you speak English? Are you there, Ravinsky? Ravinsky, the blood of Christ be on your curse. 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 You cannot have Catherine's life on Halloween. You cannot have it. You cannot have it. And you cannot have the life of Rebecca. Rebecca confessed Christ yesterday. You heard her. Did you not? Confess it. Did you hear her? Answer me, Ravinsky. Answer me. Catherine? Catherine?
Leave us alone.
Catherine?
Please.
For God so loved the world, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, Catherine.
I don't need to hear what you have to say.
You need to hear. I will not leave your daughter alone. I will not let you kill your daughter, and I will not let you kill yourself in the name of these spirits. Jesus Christ is... I know how many spirits Rebecca has.
Listen.
She has 342 of them.
We have a long trip ahead of us, and I don't intend to spend it on this telephone.
No, you cannot go anywhere.
I cannot go anywhere.
In the name of Christ, we command you be restrained.
Yeah, it sounded almost exactly like that first voice. Like, it was... I was literally... I listened to your show as I'm driving to and from work. Because I drive like in... I live in Morgantown, but I drive up near Pittsburgh to go to work every day. So the guy that actually got me into listening to your show, he rides with me. He lives like halfway in between, so we meet up in the middle, and then I drive the rest of the way up because my vehicle is much smaller than his. And so that's how I pass the time, like as I'm driving. It's almost an hour and a half ride. And I was actually driving home Tuesday night when I saw the episode, and I started playing it, and it was an eerie feeling. It was definitely, it took me back to that moment, and it scared me a little bit. I'm not even gonna lie about it. It was different, but it sounded almost exactly like it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard those are just... What I played on that show was just a couple samples. I've heard other different recordings of such things, and a lot of times they sound similar, which is interesting. But
yeah.
So before we kind of wrap things up here on this interview, I wanted you to have the opportunity to share another story with me, because when you told me about it, my ears perked up big time. So you were previously married, and you actually had to perform an exorcism on your ex-wife. How'd that happen? What are you talking about? Like, I mean, how'd you find out that she was demonically possessed? How'd you go about this whole thing?
That's something interesting as well. me and my ex-wife had gotten together right before I turned 21. We lived in Tennessee. I went down there to be with her after I met her online. We came back up here and moved into a little town called Masontown. It's in PA. And we had this little two-bedroom house that was above a two-car garage. And weird things were happening in the house. My oldest son, which was 4 at the time, it's my stepson. I hear him in his bedroom. His full end of a conversation, like he was talking to somebody, but I couldn't hear the other half of the conversation. So I go into the room sometimes, you know, because it was late at night. Like, he should have been asleep by now. And I was like, hey, who are you talking to, bud? And he was like, oh, nobody. But then he'd look over and there was this little pop-up cloth playhouse that I bought him. There was like a Spider-Man one. And he would look over at that and then look back at me. And I was like, you sure you're not talking to anybody? He's like, yeah, I'm just talking. I said, well, it's past your bedtime. You need to go to sleep. So he'd lay down and I'd leave. And then it went, because Masontown's it's a very weird town. There's a lot of darkness in that town. And so one night, and I'm trying to think, I always told my ex-wife when we were together, you know, because, you know, people argue. You're together. You argue with your girlfriend. I'm sure you and your wife have your disagreements.
Sure.
And I told her, I said, if you ever get mad at me, you need to go blow off steam, go for a walk, do whatever. I said, just don't walk around here at night. Some of the people aren't the best people. And there are things outside that I'd rather not be outside at night. So we get into an argument one night and she decides she's going to go for a walk. So she's been gone for like, I don't know. She's only been gone for like 5 minutes. I'm like, I can't let her walk around by herself. Like, if something happens to her, I'm just done. So I take off after her and I start walking. I thought I saw her further up the sidewalk. I saw something, and I thought it was her. So I started heading up the sidewalk, and it came like my house at the bottom of like a hill. So as you climb, as I crested the hill, all of a sudden she's like almost a block away at the other end of the sidewalk. And I'm like, holy crap, she's like hauling it. So I started heading down the sidewalk towards her, to where I thought it was her. And I see this thing cross the street. And I get to the corner where she crossed and look down, and she's all the way down at the edge of this other, like almost a block. And I'm like, holy crap, where is she going? Like, well, what is she doing? So I start jogging to try to catch up to her. And I go down, there's a Dollar General there. And as I go down to the corner of the Dollar General where I saw her turn, I round the corner, and I know it was like later at night and it was dark outside, but this was darkness. Like pitch black, something's not right darkness. And that's when I realized that wasn't my ex-wife. Like, I don't know what I followed. I don't know what was leading me around that town to that spot, but it wasn't her. So I started walking, and I was like, well, maybe she went down to the park. So I went down, started heading down to the park, and finally she calls me and she says, hey, I'm done walking around. You know, I'm going to head back to the house. And I was like, where were you? And she told me she was by the cemetery sitting on this wall by my church. And she was going to head home. I said, well, I'm on my way. You know, Jonathan was at my brother's, so it wasn't like he was left home by himself before anybody thinks that. My brother used to come and take him like over the weekends or whatever sometimes. And so I started heading back, you know, back up towards the house. I mean, I don't know. Roughly, it's less than a quarter of a mile, but I was still a, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes from the house, like walking time. So I'm walking back up through, and it was really weird. It was like, I told you I became sensitive after that apartment.
Yeah.
Well, I became sensitive in many different ways. Sometimes I see things like flashes in my head, not so much as like I'm physically seeing it, but it's almost like I'm being shown something. But when I see it, like what I'm looking at disappears, and like I see it playing out like in front of my eyes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I know that's a horrible description. That's the best I can, the best I can describe it. That's a horrible description. But and that's how I hear things when it talks to me too. Like you had somebody on one of your episodes, and I forget what it was. They say it's almost like a mind speak that these things talk to me. But it's not audible. It's like I hear it in my head. I hear these things talking to me.
Right.
And but I see this little vision, and it's of her crossing the cemetery to head back to the house. But when she turned around, her eyes were black and her teeth were all jagged. And then she turned back around and started walking across the cemetery, and then it like disappeared. And I was like, what in the hell just happened? That was the first time anything like that ever really happened to me, and it freaked me out. So I'm kind of thinking I'm hallucinating. There's something like something different going on. I don't know what's going on, but I hurry up and I get home, and we're talking, and we decide to go to bed. So we're laying in bed, and all of a sudden she tells me that she sees something, because the closet door in my room, and I think the one in Jonathan's room, for some reason, there was no doors on the closet. They were just open closets. And she said she saw something peering out from the closet. And I was like, okay. So I had already had other interesting things between my apartment and this moment. I had become pretty accustomed to kicking things out of places where they weren't supposed to be. So I went and grabbed my Bible, the same one I used in my apartment, and I grabbed a thing of, I didn't have any anointing oil, so I grabbed a little thing of like a olive oil. I prayed over the olive oil to bless it, to make it like anointing oil. And I went into my bedroom, and I walked, and as soon as I walked in, the air became different. It was like something was was pissed because I just walked in with a Bible. So I walked over and I anointed the top and the two sides of the closet door frame. And I prayed that whatever was there, that, you know, if anything was in this closet, anything was, you know, it, whatever she saw, if it was wishing either of us harm, they would be removed from the house in Jesus' name. And the air seemed to lighten up a little bit. I put the Bible down on my nightstand and I laid back down next to my wife. And as I'm laying there, I'm closing my eyes. I'm getting ready to go to sleep. And she tapped my arm and she goes, "Chris, something is telling me to hurt you." And I said, "Excuse me?" She's like, "I hear something. It's telling me to hurt you. It is telling me it wants me to hurt you right now." So, all I knew to do was start praying. You know, I was like, "Well, whatever this is, it must have just be, you know, I don't know how it's reaching her. I don't feel anything in the room." So I started praying, and she told me that I started saying the Lord's Prayer, and she said that it was the Lord's Prayer was giving her a migraine. Then when I started praying, it was giving her a headache. So I had a little bit of that oil left that I prayed over and anointed, or I asked God to bless so I could anoint. And I put some on her arm, and she said that it felt hot. I'm telling you, there's no way this oil was hot. It was like fresh out of an olive oil bottle that was like room temperature that I had put into a little... Actually, I just put some on like a little end of a paper towel so that I could like anoint the door frame. Like there was no way that it was hot. She said it felt like really hot, like to the point of almost burning her. And then she started like pulling away from me while she was like laying in bed. And I went to touch her again and she jumped up out of the bed and she took off out to the living room. And I was like, you know, I was going to a Pentecostal church at the time. And I honestly, I was waiting for this preacher to tell me that I was crazy. But I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I've, you know, dealt with dark spirits in houses. If something followed me in my car, I've anointed a car. I've never physically dealt with something being in someone. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do. So I called my pastor, and it's, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, 12, something like that. It's late. And I apologize for calling him, and I had to explain the situation, and I'm waiting for him to tell me that I'm insane. And he's like, "Chris, I'm over an hour away from you. I need you to remove that demon from your wife." He said, "If you can't do it, I will be there. I'll drive." He goes, "That needs to happen now before it sinks its claws in too deep." He goes, "So you need to get whatever you can use for anointing oil, get your Bible, he goes, "Me and my wife are going to be up praying for you until you call me back and tell me that it's done." He goes, "We're going to be in constant prayer until this phone rings and it's you." He said, "But I need you to go out there and rebuke it. Tell it that it's, you know," he goes, "don't talk to it. If it tries to speak to you, don't listen. Command it to shut up." He goes, "Anything that it says is going to be a lie. Do not listen to it." He goes, "At some point it may try to hurt her. It may act like it's going to hurt her, but it can't. It's not." He goes, "If you rebuke it and tell it that it has no power, it can't." He goes, "It's going to try to act like it wants to hurt her so that you stop. If it gets you to stop, you've missed that opportunity. Because once you get it going, you have to keep going." He goes, "You know," so I tell him I'll do my best. He goes, "If you need me, I will drive out tonight. Just call me if you can't do it. And I'll drive out tonight and I'll help you deal with this." So I go out to the living room and she was sitting on the couch and I walked up to her and there was a bunch of mixed emotions. I mean, it's not, I'm terrified because what if I can't do this? I'm terrified. What if it does hurt her? You know, and it's my wife. Like, I don't want to be the cause of anything that hurts her. I don't want to. You know, and she looked like she was scared sitting on the couch. And I came up and I had my Bible and my oil. And I did as the preacher told me to. I drew a cross on her forehead in the oil. Because I actually had to go out to the kitchen and get more. I ended up just grabbing like a bottle of olive oil and asking God to bless the bottle of olive oil. And I went in and I put some on my finger and I made a cross on her forehead and I started praying. And I started off with the Lord's Prayer. And one other thing the pastor told me before I got off the phone with him, he told me that once it was complete and I felt that it was done, I had to have her say like the sinner's prayer, because if she couldn't say the name of Jesus Christ, then it was still there. If she couldn't ask for Jesus to come into her heart, the demon was still there. And if the demon left and she didn't fill that void that it left behind with something, it would come back worse. So I had to have her say the sinner's prayer once it was done and make sure that was said and done. That way I knew for sure that the exorcism worked. So I went out, I anointed her head, and I started off with the Lord's Prayer, and she started like arching over the arm of the couch. And as I completed the prayer, I commanded the demon to release her. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have no dominion over one of God's children. Regardless of where she is in her faith, we're all God's children. That's all I kept saying. I didn't ask for a name, because he told me not to speak to it, not to converse with it at all. So I just kept praying and then just kept commanding it at release, because it had no power over her. It had no power over anything on this earth that belonged to God, and everything belongs to God. And my ex-wife had some really long natural fingernails, and that hand reached up and she dug those claws into my chest. And I grabbed her arm, made her let go, kept praying. It started like, have you ever seen like in the movies, like when they start twisting their wrists or their arms twist a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, her hands started twisting, and I rebuked that in the name of Jesus. And then my ex-wife had asthma, and it was acting like it was putting her into an asthma attack. And I kept rebuking it. I said, you can't put her in an asthma attack. You can't hurt her. You can't kill her. And this went on for, it felt like an eternity. I know it wasn't quite that long, but it felt like forever. And then finally I got her to say the Lord's Prayer. The sinner's prayer. Once I realized, because I kept asking her, well, once I could see it was her, I would tell her she had to say the name Jesus Christ. And at first she would get out maybe Jesus, but she couldn't get out Christ. So finally, once she could say his name, I had her repeat the sinner's prayer after me. And she had no recollection of any of it once it was done. None. She asked me why we were in the living room, like why we were on the couch, why I had her say a prayer. She doesn't remember any of it. She saw like bleeding claw marks on my chest and was like, what happened to you? No recollection of it whatsoever.
That's really interesting. Do you think she was possessed for a long time?
No, I really don't. I think that when she went out that night, I don't know what was on her mind. I don't know what happened. I just think whatever it was, I think got her that night. It may have been something that may have been working at her for a little while. But whatever she was thinking, whatever's going through her head, I just think it was like right place, right time, or wrong place, wrong time. And it decided that it was going to use that as this moment of opportunity. And my faith grew after the place in Uniontown. I started, when I had issues when I was in Tennessee, I would, you know, clear them out. If I felt like something was riding along in my car, I would get rid of it. I started putting like a little pocket Bible in the glove box. But I had never done anything like that before. And I haven't done anything since. I've done blessings on homes and stuff since then. But that was just something that, I mean, I hope I never have to do it again, because it's, every time I have one of these encounters with something, it's almost like it leaves a little something behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can understand that.
But like the things that I feel, because But when these dark beings show up, I can feel their aggression. I feel whatever they're feeling at the moment. And it's like, it you can't unfeel that. The thing with her, I'm never going to be able to forget doing an exorcism on my ex-wife. I'm never going to forget the things that happened in that apartment, the things that I went through. It leaves an impression that you just don't ever get away from. No matter how hard you try to forget, they're just there. But yeah, that was me doing an exorcism on my ex-wife. It was scary. I was terrified of any possible outcome outside of what actually happened. Because I've seen it in the movies. You know, you're watching horror movies and Hollywood way over dramatizes it most of the time, unless that kind of stuff actually does happen. I don't know. I've only had experience with one. But that's what I was afraid of, was like the Hollywood version of an exorcism. And it definitely left a, you know, for lack of better terms, it left a scar.
Yeah. Now with exorcisms, not all of them obviously are the same. They go through different, I don't know, extremes. I've seen exorcisms where the person is needing to be held down by many people. They're growling, they're yelling, they're speaking in another language, like a weird language. It's like, you know, things like that. It's like really like crazy, you know. But then I've seen exorcisms that are much more calm and not as extreme. So I wonder if
it has to do with like how long that spirit has the person in their body.
Yeah, you know, because I do believe that demonic entities can possess a person, not only the person, but like the family. It could be a demonic entity that has been with that family for a very long time, generations. And
almost like a curse.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when that happens, I think that, you know, you're dealing with something that has a very strong grip on that person and the family, and that's, you know, an uphill battle. But listen, Chris, man, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing the stuff, man. Like it's very interesting encounters and stories that you had to share with us. And dude, I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody. Nobody.
It's been interesting, and I still see things every now and then now. At first, it was like something opened floodgates, and I've learned to kind of dial it back to kind of, if I don't pay attention to whatever's around, it's like, you know, it's not that it goes away, but it's almost like they want the attention. So if you don't give it to them, they just stop acting up a little bit, almost like a child. But it was interesting. Like and I'm sorry if you heard any background noise, you know, talking about this stuff, I get a little, my nerves get rattled, and I don't smoke in my house, so I come out to smoke a cigarette. So if you heard doors or whatever, I was just trying to walk on my porch to have a cigarette.
Okay. Yeah, that's no problem.
So yeah, every time I've only talked about stuff like this with like a couple close friends, like my family knows some of it. But yeah, it's just like the nerves kind of start flaring up from everything. So I just go smoke a cigarette and I feel better.
Yeah, man, no problem. Well, Chris, listen, I really do appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us. And, you know, we're friends on Facebook, so feel free to keep in touch with me, man.
Oh, definitely. And thank you for letting me come on the show and talk about this. I do appreciate it.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please go ahead and share the show with your friends. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, email, newsletters, bulletin boards. I don't care how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it, because that is the best thing you can do to help support the show on a weekly basis. Now, last week we started doing the question of the week, and I'm going to continue it this week. And I want the answers to come into us on Instagram. Post a picture with your answer, whether it's a picture of the answer or text, I don't care. Just post a picture with the answer and tag at the Confessionals Podcast so we can see what you think about this question this week. The question is, would you rather be stalked by a ghost for your entire life or be stalked by a demon for 3 days, then die. Let us know on Instagram with a picture and tag us at The Confessionals. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
Our job,
but we're not mean
in our town of Halloween.